As always, on Mondays, we are joined by Senator Jacobson. Senator Mike Jacobson, how are you doing?
Hey, great, guys. How are you?
Pretty good.
So what you told me on the phone, you're stranded in Lincoln County today, potentially?
Well, I hope not, but that may be the case. I have my annual bank board meetings, annual shareholders meeting, along with the annual meetings of the board. And normally, we've been moving the board meetings around my recess schedule, but this is a meeting that's set by our bylaws, and it requires that this particular date in March is our annual meeting date. And so, go back yesterday, and I'm not quite sure whether I'm going to try to drive back or fly back or one way or the other. I want to be back tomorrow to be in session because the budget will be read across this morning or sometime today, LB 388. I shouldn't say the budget. It's actually the revenue tax package, Revenue Committee tax package. It's going to be in the form of LB 388. And that will certainly get a lot of debate. A lot of people have been waiting for that particular bill to come out. And so we'll begin debate on that, I'm sure, tomorrow. Today, there's a lot of select file votes and some cleanup stuff. And so it will be a relatively, I shouldn't say a slow day. It'll be a long day. We're going late nights. But it's bills that I've already seen for the most part in the morning and into the afternoon. And so anything controversial, the late day stuff will be general file votes where there can be changes made on select. So of the days to miss, this is probably one.
Well, I think you may be able to get back later this morning, early afternoon. The interstates were closed east and west when I came across this morning, but we didn't get a lot of snow. Most of it is a visibility issue when the winds were up. The winds are dying down, so you may be in luck.
Well, that's good to know. The first meeting's at 11 o'clock this morning, and then meetings are supposed to run till 5, but the important meeting starts at 11, and so I need to be there for that in person. And so I may be on the phone with the other meetings as I'm driving or skating back to Lincoln. So unfortunately, I don't know that Lincoln, we left yesterday morning to come back here, and it was raining in Lincoln, but then we went through some dry areas, and then, of course, it started snowing here then last night. So but it doesn't sounds like the worst of it might be more in that Kearney, Lexington area.
Kearney to Grand Island, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Senator Jacobson, just going to give us a preview of what we can expect on the floor this week. It's day 48. Do I have that right?
It is, day 48. So we've got 12 days, 11 days after today. So as I mentioned before, we are going late nights, and so yes. But what is a late night? Well, we
to 11:59.
Yeah, it could be that if you go past 11:59, you're into the next legislative day, so it doesn't matter. But we did go till 10 o'clock one night last week, and I think if there's filibusters, that's really what it's kind of designed for. Is that these late nights you can get into a filibuster and you can blow through it yet that day and get into other debate. So there will be some bills coming yet that could get filibustered. I do think that the Revenue Committee's tax package will not necessarily be filibustered, but it will take a full day of debate on general file because they're bringing a lot of concepts and a lot of things that are going to be, let's just say, not universally agreeable to the body. So there is a briefing for a number of us tomorrow morning by the Revenue Chair, Senator Linehan, in her office. So we'll have an early morning breakfast meeting tomorrow with her, go through the specifics of the bill. She did meet with me privately last Thursday or last legislative day last week, and she kind of walked me through what she intends to bring and what's in the bill, and kind of wanted to get my immediate reaction. And I do know that based upon what will be in the bill, I know there were a lot of constituents that were concerned about removing the sales tax exemption on ag repair parts, or meaning make ag repair parts subject to the sales tax. That provision has been removed from the bill, so the bill coming to the floor will not have that provision in it. I'm not saying somebody can't try to add it in, but I think the committee decided that that was probably not appropriate to be in the bill, so I was glad to hear that. Probably the next most objectionable thing that I see in it is they would like to remove a sales tax exemption for those for advertising. And I think that's problematic in a lot of ways. First and foremost, they're going after those who have $1 billion or more in sales, which really means that they're trying to target the Amazons and the Microsoft, or the Facebooks and folks like that. The problem is that you've got a lot of resellers of advertising that go through those platforms. And so that would impact them from a sales tax perspective, increase the cost of advertising. Anyone who's been around media of any kind knows that margins are very, very tight today, whether that's print media, radio media, TV media. It's all the viewership, listenership, readership has been impacted, and there's the social side has really taken a big part of the advertising piece. But I am concerned that, first of all, I'm not sure it's good policy. And secondly, I'm convinced that it absolutely there'd be a lawsuit filed from a constitutionality standpoint. There is a suit that's been passed in one or two other states, and that is being challenged there. So I'm not sure why we would want to include something in a bill that we absolutely know will be challenged in court, when we can pass something a little less aggressive and know that we've got something that we can stand on firm ground with. So that's going to be something. I've already had a conversation with the governor on Friday, and he and I spoke, and I know he's kind of signed off on the revenue package for the most part. And I told him that I have issues with this, and he understood that. And so I said that will be something that I'm probably going to, I will be pushing back on. I don't know what the rest of the package looks like, other than when we met with the governor's group last summer, his roundtable, we were wanting to raise additional funding through sales tax and cigarette tax and vaping taxes and so on, to be able to provide a direct property tax credit. And that's the only sure way that you're going to get the money directly in the hands of taxpayers. And that's why I would support a sales tax increase, because I believe that sales taxes are well below in terms of total dollars collected than what we're paying in property taxes. And it's a way to be able to balance out taxation and tax burden. The problem, again, becomes that I believe that Senator Linehan is wanting to put all this towards PIOSA and to state aid to public schools. I think there'll be a lot of people to push back, basically, because we did something last year. And, of course, there was not. There were some schools that reduced their mill levy, others that did not. Those that did not, generally because they needed the fund, I get that. But I think there's going to be a lot of skepticism by just putting it out there and then putting a hard cap on what schools can do in terms of taxation. District 42 is very unique in that we have Northcott Public School, that is the largest school district in our district and the only equalized school district, meaning it's the only school district that that receives TIOSA formula aid or state aid from the TIOSA formula. All of the rest of the districts are getting the $1,500 per student in what we consider foundation aid. So Senator Lenihan's bill does lay out that the foundation aid would go from $1,500 per student to $3,000 per student, but then there'd be more money in TEOSA. We also mentioned last week, and the problem with that, let me just say, is by doing it the way she is, a lot of this money is going to go to Omaha Public Schools because they are the largest school district in the state. And I might also add that as part of the TEOSA formula, you get additional dollars for the number of children that are in free and reduced lunches. Well, the federal guidelines made some modifications here a year ago or a couple years ago through the pandemic that changed that definition. So Omaha Public School District has come in now and said under that definition, 100% of the students that attend Omaha Public Schools qualifies for free and reduced lunch. Because their percentage was high enough, they could say that the entire school district does, which we, of course, know is not the case. But it does fit the specifics of the guidelines at the federal level. The problem is that the TEOSA level formula at the state level outlines that if you qualify for free and reduced lunch, you get additional TEOSA money. So when the budget was being done last week, there was an expectation that we were going to see about a $15 or $20 million reduction in the amount of TEOSA money needed. Instead, we came back with a $94 million increase, the bulk of which is going to Omaha Public Schools. So there will be some rural senators will have some issues with that. But again, we got to run the numbers. We got to see how the total package looks. I'm going in skeptical, but with an open mind to really see how these numbers will work out. Probably the only thing I know I'm going to be opposed to is the advertising tax.
Okay.
Talking here with State Senator Mike Jacobson. And Senator, just 11 days after today, and you know, would you say so far it's been a smooth first 48 days or so?
In my mind, it's probably been as smooth as anybody could have expected. You know, we've still got 11 days to screw it up, but I would tell you that
that's what I like, optimism.
That's right. Don't ever undersell this, okay? I do think that the speaker's done a good job of really balancing. You know, the speaker is one who decides what gets scheduled when. I think he's done a very good job of really working with everyone in the body to bring the bills that need to be brought to kind of balance what's going on. That's helped. I think there's been more collegiality than we normally have had last year. We ran into a bump in the road last week with LB 441 and some comments that Senator Halloran made on the floor. Needless to say, I do sit on the exec board, and there has been a legislative resolution filed to censure him. I'll be honest with you, the legislature does not have very clear rules as to how that should work. I'd also tell you that Senator Conrad, who is a really one of the leaders on the Democrats in the body, had a very good floor speech that day suggesting that we want to be careful what we wish for. And I had a private conversation with her last week and said, I'd just like to know what your thoughts are in terms of what the exec board should be doing. And she said, you know, one of the reasons that there is freedom of speech, and no matter, you know, and I think she made a quote that I thought was pretty important. You know, good speech is easy to protect, when it gets more controversial, it's harder to protect. But we need to protect it just as we do the good speech. And so the challenge I think that she recognizes is depending on the basis and how the exec board will approach this, could set it up to where every year we're going to be seeing challenges and somebody, when they're not happy with somebody else on the floor, filing a resolution to censure them or to reprimand them in some way. And so that's what's going to make this a little more challenging. So there will be a hearing later this week. I believe it's on Thursday. So I'll be staying late instead of getting out early on Thursday. I was planning on being back in North Platte for the hearing on the post office, and now I'm going to be stuck in an exec board hearing working through this legislative resolution. So there's always something going on in the legislature. So we'll see where that goes. But otherwise, I think that the bills that I was concerned about, for the most part, are moving along nicely. We did pass LB 1087, which was a hospital assessment act, and that did get done. The governor plans to sign it. There'll be a formal signing ceremony next Friday on Good Friday up at Fremont, and so I've been asked to attend that and make a few comments at that particular signing. But that's a really big deal for rural hospitals, and I'm really glad to have been able to carry the bill, and really appreciate the support of the rest of the legislature to vote that 45-0 out of committee. So otherwise, it's kind of steady as she goes.
Very good. Well, for the rest of the day, just travel safe, sir.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll talk to you next Monday.